Okay, so let's take the beginning of Hilchos Gneiva in the Rambam. Okay.
Do you want me to read the first lacha already?
Yeah, first lacha.
Okay. Kol agonev mamon mishava pruto mala over alos ase shenemar lo signovo. Ve'ein lokin alavze sheharei niten latashlumen sheaganev chayva osvator l'shalim. So you don't get malchus because it's a nav lavani tatashlum, and then the ganav has to pay back.
Right.
Vechad agonev mamon yisrael agonev mamon gai over the vodazara vechad agonev esegazal asakata.
Yeah. Oh, so it's nitin latashlum. So lav that's nitin latashlum. Okay. Let's take a look in the beginning of gzeila.
Okay. So Aleph Aleph, Kol Gozo Chavero Shava Pruta Over Belo Sase Shemar Lo Sigzol Ve'ein Lokin Alavza Shere Kosev Nisko La'ase Sheim Gozo Chayv La'achzir Shneamar Ve'ishu Sigzol Shere Gozo Zimit V'sase Ve'afilu Sarif HaGzela In Aloka. Even if you burn it and you can't do the mitzvah of Hashava because it's no longer a ban, still don't get Malkus.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So first of all, it's the nizik lasei because v'heishes exil asher gozal, and secondly, it's a funny form. Secondly, if that doesn't work, it's nizik tashlumen. So how does that work? And if it's nizik tashlumen, why do you have to have nitzik laaseh? Why didn't the Rambam just say that it's nitzik l'tashlumen, and if it's a ban, you have to do tashlumen with a ban. But it's always nitzik l'tashlumen. How does this combination? The Rambam is saying that on first sight there's no malchus, because it's nizik l'asei. And secondly, because it's nizik l'asei. What is it, like half and half? It's a funny formulation. I mean, because you're saying that if it was destroyed, so then it's not nizik l'asei anymore. Then we say nizik l'asei. So apparently it's not always nizik l'asei.
I mean, when he pays back tashlumen, that's not part of the assay?
No.
In the Sefer HaMitzvos, he says, O lases damea im nishtanis. In Sefer HaMitzvos, in Kuf Tzani Dalet, he says, Ki shitzivanu la shivas gzeila ba'atma, im hi nisharis ba'atma. With Tosefes Chomesh, Allah says, "Tameha im mishtanis." So, doesn't that imply that if the object is that the payment of damim is within the mitzvah of a Shabbos Gzeila?
Yeah. Read it once more.
Okay, my mitzvah of Kuvtzari Dalet, he should tivanu lashiv es Gzeila ba'atma. Im he nisheres be'atma, v'tosef of chomesh, o lases dameha im nishtanis.
Okay, he's just telling you that there are two possibilities. But over here he's saying you're not chayav of malchus because it's nitzik laaseh. And then you're saying it's not always nitzik laaseh.
Why is it not always nitzik laaseh? When you pay the damim, that's part of the assay.
No, if the chefs is not there, it's not nitzik laaseh.
But in Kuvtzari Dalet, he says, oh, when he's talking about the mitzvah of Shabbos Gzeila, he says, oh, lases tamea im nishtanis.
Yeah, I understand. That doesn't bother me. But what bothers me is that you're saying he's putter from malchus because it's nitzik laaseh. And then you're telling me it's not always nitzik laaseh.
What's the case where it's not nitzik laaseh? where the object is nishtanis, or where it's destroyed.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so isn't that still the assay that's mechayev him to pay the damim?
No, that's a different thing.
But why isn't it Kutzari Dalit? He says that if it's nishtanis, he's chayev to pay the damim. There he's talking about the mitzvah of Hashavas Gzela.
Why is he bringing Chomish there? Why is he taking Tosefes Chomish there? How is that part of the mitzvah of Hashavas Gzela?
Yeah, that's true. Let's take Bernie's question. So your question is that why does he say A or B? And that comes on the Vaheshev.
Right. That's
he goofed a kasha.
Oh, what? Okay. But why wouldn't you just say that the Hashavas Gzela could take place at different levels? It could be the object itself, or if the object's not, if you can't fulfill it to that extent, so then it's the damim.
Yeah, but what does the Rambam say in the Yad?
Okay, good question.
He wouldn't need to bring up Nitana Tashlumen if you still have the reason that it's a mitzvah.
That's correct. And he says, Vafilu Sarah Fagzela, Ainaloga, Sharehu Chayev Lashalim, Bechol Av Shanitna Tashlumen Ainaloga Alav. So why did the Rambam just say, simply, just like he says by Geneva, that it's a
okay, I hear Tashlumen. That. Okay, I hear that.
Yeah, it's a problem.
I hear that.
You see the Rambam has something in mind here. Yes, I was thinking that that if the Gzela is Be'en, it's a poter on Tashlumen. So that's why you either have the Gzela Ben and no Tashlumen, or you have Tashlumen. But I don't like it. And then I saw the Rav said better. The Rav said like this, that you chayev on, when you go to the Chefza, is higher than Hashava. However, if something happens to the Chefza, so then you have a Chiyav Achrayus, which kicks in. A Chiyav Achrayus. So once you have the Chiyav Achrayus, it's Nitin L'Tashlumen. So it starts off as a Chiyav of Hashava Sabe'en. That's the way it begins. That's the beginning of the story. But then, when it's Nisraf, you can't be Mekayim Hashavas Gzela, because it's non-existent. But you, the Ganath, is Chayiv and Achrayus on the Chefza. Because the king Gzela is Mekayiv and Achrayus. And that's when it becomes a nitan l'tashlumen. That's when it becomes a nitan l'tashlumen. That's a beautiful.
So when he steals the object, he becomes like a shomer.
That's right. That's correct.
Thank you.
Only a yad does he have such an idea. Nobody in the world would ever think of that.
Very cute.
Yeah, the world will not understand this Rama. He becomes a shomer, like a shomer becomes chayav and achrayus. So then it's nidla tashlumen.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Lagank, is the tashlumen really for the geneva then, or is the tashlumen for
okay,
like a lack of shmir?
We're talking about Zela.
Fine. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay,
sorry. Is it
Is tashlumin for your lack of, is it for your gazela, or is it for your lack of shmirah because of your achrayas? Like, why does the lav need on the tashlumin? It's not really for the lav, the tashlumin.
That's a good question. In other words, how could you call it a nitin l'tashlumin if at the time of the lav there is no tashlumin? Right? Is that what you're asking?
Right. Yes, right. Right, and the tashlumin which does emerge is not because of the lav, it's because why I have an achrayas on the mashmira.
That's right. That's a good question. Why should we call the lav a nitin l'tashlumin? It's not the lav that's nitin l'tashlumin. It's the achrayas on the ba'an. Yeah. So the rabbi asked that question too. But he answered the following. I was thinking of the same answer. Namely, that what is poter the person from Malkus is not the fact that in the Maisa Gzela there was Tashlumin. But even if along in the end result, he's chayv in the process of Tashlumin. So since he's chayv in Tashlumin, that is proto him from Malkus. In other words, in Geneva, it's a lavanin l'tashlumin. Over here, it's just that the gavra is going to be chayv in Tashlumin. If you undergo Tashlumin, there is no Malkus. There's no Malkus in Tashlumin, so it's not because the lav is nil l'tashlumin, it's because the gavra undergoes a process of tashlumin.
But the tashlumin isn't for the gzela, it's for my lack of shmira of the object in my rishos, which I have a chayas on.
That's correct. But since you are chayav in tashlumin, you can't be chayav in tashlumin and malchus keachot. But that's what you have to say. The only question is, in Geneva he says, Afilu Sarf Akzela, Einologa, Shereh Chayv L'Shalom Lamao. That's in Akzela. In Geneva he says, because it's a Lavanim L'Shalom. But apparently, to answer your question, you have to say that it's not because the lav is needed. It's because the gavra will undergo a process of tashlumin. He's chayav b'tashlumin. So since he's chayav b'tashlumin, he can't be mechayav with tashlumin and with malchus at the same time, simultaneously.
Actually, the Rambam inserts a phrase by Gzela. He doesn't have by Geneva.
Yeah.
By Geneva, he simply says that it's nitan l'tashlumin.
Right.
But by Gzela, he says, Shorishu chayav l'shalem tameha. That phrase, that phrase is left out by Geneva. He only has it by Gzela.
That's right.
So you could explain, you could say, he's trying to make clear over here that when we say Nitan Tashlum, he doesn't mean it in the same way. He means because there's a Chi of Lashalim. And that's why it's Nitan Tashlum. It's not because Geneva, there's a din aganov, and that's like one of the consequences. So that's why it's that way. Over here, it's different. It's because he's chayiv in, it's simply because of the fact that he's chayiv in Tashlumin.
But the only thing is, he uses the same lashon of a chol lav shenitin l'tashlumin.
Yeah, but he seems to be trying to say that it's being, he seems, by inserting that phrase, he seems to be saying that it's working differently.
Yeah, but it's one universal. I think what he's saying is that lav anin l'tashlumin is not because of the quality of the lav. It's because of the gavra's chiyuv tashlumin. But a gavra
can't. Right, I understand, yes.
And that'll be good by Gzeila, will be good by Geneva. It'll be good by both.
Rabbi, according to your answer, it's more meduyak, the lavanit and tashlumin, right?
According to my answer?
Yeah, that there's always a din tashlumin right away, but the only thing is that the shava is a poter.
Yeah, but it's a clumsy pshat. And this is more, definitely this is more in line with the smooth reason. What do you have? You have a poter and suddenly it comes back. I mean, it's not smooth.
So to answer Ellie's question, you're saying that the chiyuv begazela of the tashlum is immediate. It's not because of the failed shmira. It's the gavra immediately has that tashlum.
You mean the shot I wanted to say?
No, I'm just trying to understand how you're answering Ellie, because Ellie wanted to know. It seems to be that it's because of the failed shmira is what causes the shluman, not the lav.
Right. So the answer is that it doesn't matter about the lav. What matters is does he chayev in the shluman? Once he's chayev in the shluman, so then he's poter. He can't. It's the process of the shluman that puts him in his poter. Not the character of the love.
But the tashlumin has to be related to the love, right?
Definitely. It means the onus of Malkus is suspended when down the line he's going to have to undergo a chiyuv tashlumin and a maisa pera. What was the question according to my way? My way was that it's a poter. So what was the question really?
No, I'm saying I think it's better in terms of, at least in terms of the love, is nitzal tashlumin intrinsically.
You mean because it's really a love and a nimah tashlum. It's a quality in the love. That's true. I mean, that's true.
That's generated at the Zman Gezela.
That's right. So at the time of Gezela, he's chayav and tashlum, but the heshiv is a poter and tashlum. It's not that bad, actually, now that I think about it. Because what you're saying is, there's a reason why it's a poter. Because you couldn't have a chiv of tashlum and a chiv of the ban at the same time.
Right, but once you burn it, well, then naturally the tashlumin expresses itself.
That's right. That once the ban camp is not in existence anymore, so now the chiyuv tashlumin comes back. Yeah, actually, it's not that bad. Maybe I was a little unfair on myself. That makes sense. Makes sense. So you have two possible ways. Either the ban cancels out the chiyuv of tashlumin, or else the chiyuv tashlumin emerges at the time when it's destroyed. Yeah, okay, very good.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Are you saying in the end that the chiyuv tashlumin is part of the mitzvah saseh of heshiv esagzela or not?
The chiyuv tashlumin? No, it's not. Either if you learn like the Rav, or if you learn like me, either way.
So how do we answer Rabbi Fox's question about why the Rambam includes it in the mitzvah, in the Sefer Mitzvahs?
The Sefer Mitzvahs? He's not dealing over there with what was the poter of Mal. He's just saying he's not dealing with the problem of being poter from Malk, he's just telling you. Go ahead.
But he seems to be saying that when you pay the tashlumin, you're being mekayim the mitzvah of heshiv esagzela. That's what he seems to be saying that in the Sefer Mitzvah.
Because it says it comes under heshiv esagzela. Yeah.
And if you're going to be mekayim the mitzvah with paying the money with the tashlumin, then it should be called a lava nitak laseh. Yet, to your point, he calls it a lava nitam tashlumin.
Where? In the Yad?
Yeah, meaning if you conclude from the Sefer HaMitzvos that paying the tashlumin is mekayim the aseh, then when he just... Okay.
I mean, he's just telling you the parameters of the tashlumin is included. And then according to the Rav, it's very good. Because the chiyuv tashlumin emerges from Veshus Agzeva.
Right. So that's what makes him. So is that mitzvah of heshiv esagzela? Is that what renders him into an achrai?
No. That's
what renders him into the achrai? The kinyan gzela?
According to the Rav, it's my esagzela. See, I don't think it's a kasha because The Rambam Sefer Mitzvot is just telling you that it comes under the Eishes Gzeira. That's all he's talking about.
Whether it comes under it.
You have to subsume it under that, under the Eishes Gzeira.
So, yeah, but so in other words, are you, somewhat, let me understand what you're saying. Are you saying that the mitzvah of Eishes Gzeira is the mitzvah that establishes the structure under the structure for him becoming a Shomer, from becoming an Achrai? Okay. Okay. So maybe that also, would that also explain why the Rambam lumps together Gzeira and the Veda? Because by Veda you have essentially the same, both of these cases are cases where a person involuntarily becomes the Achrai for the object.
Yeah.
So in Gzeira, because of the Kinyan Gzeira, and by Aveda, it's basically the same process. When he takes the object, he becomes an achrai for the object, becomes its jomer. And these
correct
responsibilities, the shmira, devolve upon him. So he puts them together because it's really parallel mechanisms.
And he becomes achrai.
He becomes achrai. He becomes a virtual shomer, you know, through Gzeira or through Aveda.
I don't know. I mean, it's a gift. What was the question that you were asking from Sefer HaMitzvahs?
My question from Sefer HaMitzvahs was the last question I asked was, is that establishing the framework for him becoming the Achrai? Is the essay what establishes that framework? I understand that the effective cause is the Kidney Gzeila, but is the framework that creates that structure from the mitzvah sasei of Yeshiva Sigzela.
What are you getting at?
I was trying to explain why the Rambam mentions in that mitzvah, the Yeshiva Sigzela, the requirement of restoring damim,
of tashlumen,
which is really of tashlumen. So I'm saying that I thought that you were saying is that it's true the Kinyan Gzeila is what actually is the effective cause, but under what mitzvah is that structure established?
Where is the Noveya from?
Yeah.
So it's Noveya from the Heishas Gzeila. So the Rosh
Hashanah. Yeah. Right, just that's what you were saying.
It's very good. According to him, it's Noveya from the Heishas Gzeila. According to my pshat, it's not. The Eishes Gzeira is a poter.
No, why don't you just simply say there's two aspects to it?
What do you mean by two aspects?
It's Chalkei Mitzvah. In other words, there's a obligation of a Shabbos Adamim, of a Shabbos through Damim, but the Shabbos of the object itself is a poter.
Yeah, but then the Tashlum wouldn't come under the Asay.
Why not?
Because it's a separate chiv.
Well, where is it Naveya from?
Not from the essay. It's Naveya from the Shas Maisa. It should be Maisa Gzeila.
It's innate within the Maisa Gzeila. But
yes,
it's not his object.
That's correct. It's Naveya.
Really? Yeah. Rami, it's
That's very sharp. That's very sharp. I like that a lot. That's very sharp.
The Ram says in the Sefer Mitzvahs also in Los Aseh Rish Mem Hei by the Sefer Los Sigzel that it's Lazez Nitek La Aseh Vom Riva Hishas Gia Shagazel Ela Shafidu Bito Aseh Sheba in Aloka Shein Adam Loka Mishalim Lefishu Lazez and Dashlumen Shim Sarf as Exelo Shlich Liyam Hariz the Mishalim Mashay Tashava. So you see, he calls that a bitul asay. But if you were to say that the tashlumen is part of the asay, then that's not bitul asay. Then that's just an alternative version of kiyum of asay. So it's like, you know, it's open that has a shame of bitul asay, even though you're going to pay the money back.
But which case is bitul asay?
When you burn it. Whatever.
Right.
Yeah. You don't say the fact that you're going to pay the money is like an alternative version of kiyum of the mitzvah's asay.
Oh, that's true.
But that's... Right, the fact he calls it mitzvah asay shows you that tashlumen is not part of the mitzvah asay.
I don't think anybody holds that. That's an alternative. Yeah, what's lashon? If you,
he says, "V'la." There's the la v'lo sigzal.
He says, Lavze nitek la'ase, v'huam ruvesha sigzela shagazal, ela shafilu bitel ase shaba, in a loka, shein adam loka mishalim.
That's like we were saying before.
Loka mishalim.
That it's not because the ase, not because the love is nitek la'ase, it's because you can't have tashlumen, not because of love and tashlumen, but you can't have tashlumen and
Malchus. I know. Yeah, right.
And that's much like what we said before.
Right. For the Rav, you mean?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
Right.
You have to answer the question.
You're right. Because why is he bringing the principle of Ein Lokim Mishan? That's the Kimmu the Rav. He's making recourse to that system, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I was thinking along those lines too. That's like him living with the Rav.
Right.
So that seems to be in line with the Rav's shot. Not with my
shot. Why is that? What's it?
In other words, because he says, Ein Loka Mishalim. So what he's saying is, it's not the character of the Rav, but it's because the Gavra can't undergo two things. Not the character of the Rav. The character of the Rav is in the name of Tashlumen. That's not the shot. Shot is that you can't undergo both. You can't be hit with two things. You can't undergo Tashlumen and also Malchus.
It's really an extra phrase in the Rambam. He could have just said, Afilu bitel aseh shabai naloka, lefishu lav nishitel tashlumen. He could have just said that, but he inserts in between, Afilu bitel aseh shabai naloka, shein adam loka mishalim, lefishu lav nishitel tashlumen.
That's
but he inserts that phrase, Shein Adam Loka Mishalim, which is like a more general concept.
Right. That seems like the Rav's answer. That's more in line with the Rav.
And you're saying is that since the Gezela is that which creates the Achrayas, therefore the Malchus which results is still related to the Gezela, such that it will be Loka Mishalim for the same.
The what?
I'm saying, I think what was bothering me before is what's the relationship between the Malchus, which is for the Bitul Achrayas, and for the, the Mammon, the Tashlumen, which is from the Bitul Achrayas, and the Gezela. But I think it's saying is that since the Achrayas was set up by the Gezela, so then the Tashlumen which results is still related back to the original Gezela.
You mean why he classifies it in the Sefer Mitzvah?
No, I'm not asking that. I was just asking on the Rav's theory altogether. What's the relationship between the Tashlumen and the Gezela? Because the Tashlumen is really for the Bitul of Achrayas. It has nothing to do with the Gezela.
Yeah, but it's Nevea from the Gezela.
Right, exactly. The Achrayas is Nevea from the Gezela, and the Tashlumen is for the Bitul of Achrayas. So it all goes back to the Gezela. Yeah, that's your sign. I didn't hop that point.
Yes, so any difficulties?
So why does the Rambam... so you're saying the reason why the Rambam has to bring down both is basically the Rav is saying because the Din of Tashlumen just wouldn't apply initially when you do Hashava? That wouldn't be considered like loko mishalim when you return an object.
What do you mean?
Why does the Rambam need the reason of lav nitek la'aseh in the case where he does a shava? You're saying because that wouldn't be considered loka mishalim if you do hashava of the be'en and you get malchus, that would be fine. The Rebbe is trying to explain why the Rambam brings down two reasons for you don't get malchus, right? Why you have to bring down lavin tekel ase, and also
how does it work?
Right. So he's answering.
It's like half the time it's shows a ban, and half the time it's a shulman.
Right. So you're saying that hashavas a ban wouldn't be, if you do hashavas a ban and you get malchus, that wouldn't have been a problem of loka mishalim.
That's right.
Right. Okay. Right, and I guess I don't know if you're about to go to Geneva. Are you about to go to Geneva, or? So why by Geneva is that the case, that when you return the ban, that is loka, problem of loka mishalim?
By Geneva, because there's no mitzvah say. By Geneva, there's no mitzvah say. The mitzvah say is only on the ban.
I mean, the reason...
Go ahead.
I mean, why is this? Does Chazar Saba'en have a din of Mishalim? Is that Tashlumen or not? You think it really, by Geneva? Yeah.
I mean, why didn't you just say you can't be Loka and Mishalim?
Right, because that's always, that's the type of Tashlumen you see from Geneva. When you return the ban, that's Tashlumen and in Loka Mishalim. So by Gzeil also, just give one reason that applies across the board.
I mean, why do you have to give the reason of Nitzik Lasei?
Right. It's almost like once it becomes an ase, then it's no longer in the shalim.
You just should have said nitin l'tashlumen, and chazor sabayin is a form of tashlumen.
Right. Right, like you see by Geneva.
That's right. I thought of that question, though. So that's a good question. Why does he say chazor sabayin is considered tashlumen? Why does he have to say it's a special ase? Why does he have to say it's nitik l'ase? You just say it's considered tashlumen. It's one form of tashlumen. Right, that's a good question. But he should have just said it's one form of tashlumen. It comes under tashlumen. Like by Geneva. So it would seem that when it's a ban, the violin, the nigzel, still has a kinyan in it. And all he does is he transfers it from one rishus to another. He just transfers the ban. But the ban is really, it's like he's holding the ban for the nigzel. And he transfers it back to him. So it's not really tashlumen. It's hashava.
So why by Geneva also? I mean, even though it's not Mitzvah Sase, it's the same idea. It's still the Nignav's Katza. He owns it. You're just transferring it back to him.
Yeah.
You should get Malchus in that case when you return the ban by Geneva.
By Geneva, he has a special Kenyan Geneva.
That he doesn't by Gzela?
By Gzela, he doesn't have the same Kenyan if it's a ban. If it's a ban, he simply transfers it back.
Oh, you mean the Mitzvah Sase, when it's ban, is ma'akif his kinyan gzela?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. You mean since by Geneva he doesn't have that, so then he really has a kinyan, then it's really tashlumen. By
right.
Gzela, the mitzvah ase prevents him from being konet, so not even tashlumen, it's just giving it back.
Right. I think you're going to have to say that. That's the difference when there is a mitzvah. That's why by Geneva, he doesn't mention that the Heshiv. It's not considered a Heshiv. Because by Geneva, he said he has a full Kenyan in the Chatzah. By Gzeva, the Heshiv's Gzeva is Ma'akev, the Kenyan of the Ganaf in the Chatzah. It's Pogan, the Kenyan of the Ganaf. Yeah, that works out nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So that explains why the Heshiv is a separate mitzvah. He has a Chiva Shova in the Chatzah. But once it's destroyed, it becomes a chiyuv achrayus, becomes a chiyuv tashlumen.
There, yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of a philosophical question. I don't know, but Why is there? Why did the Torah only make a mitzvah asei of hashava by gzela, but by geneva there isn't? Like, it seems like you would intuitively you would think they should be parallel. Like you should have a los asei and asei in both cases. Like, why have a different formulation in terms of hashava by geneva as opposed to gzela?
That is a philosophical question.
Yeah. You know. It's just striking. It's like an asymmetry for no real reason. It's like,
that's true. And the Rambam says, what's the difference between Zeila and Gneva? So the Rambam says, and he goes with the Gemara. I don't know.
You want to tell us there was a Reb Chaim or something, or that he had a different definition than the Gemara or something?
Reb Chaim didn't like that definition. He didn't listen as it is.
He didn't like the Gemara.
He didn't like that because he said the real difference is the Guna Bebeis Eish. Geneva is from his Rishus. And Gzela is not.
The Gzela is Vayigzela Sachanis Miyad HaMetzri. It's like it's from his like person but not his Rishus.
It's not. You're not stealing from his Rishus. That's why you say Shol Shalom Yidas is Gazlan. You don't say Ganav.
Because why? Because you're not taking it out of his Rishus?
That's right. So I don't know why. Wonder why there's a mitzvah of the Heshus.
Yeah, I just don't know if you. It always bothered me. Just, I don't know if you've heard an answer. You had an answer, just why? Just you know, you think it'd be the same. You think that it should be just like both. I mean, there's mitzvah of the same both. Neither. Like, why? Why would the Torah be machalik?
Torah is also machalik in terms of the tashlumen that by the geneva you have kefal.
That's correct.
Yeah, but then I can understand.
By geneva, the essay is much more broad. Then the Shiva Sugzela, it's all the various consequences that the Ganav can experience. Kefo Abu Chamisha, Abu Machteris, he's meant, the Rambam mentions in Reish Lamites.
You mean the consequences are Kefo and Dalbe, things like that, as opposed to Hashava?
Right.
That is interesting. Instead of Asi Vashava by Geneva has Kefon Dalbe.
Right.
Yeah, he even says, Bechlau kol mishpate aganav kvar yispire v'dakte yis... Oh, here, I'm sorry, it's red part. So, Reish Lamites, this is about Din HaGanav. This is the essay. He HaTorah Shuhuranu b'din HaGanav Shiniknoso so, Tashlume Kefil, O, Tashlume Abraham Chamisha, O, Nargeu, in Baba Machteris, O Nim Kareu, Lakul Mishpate Aganov, Kamoshi Spire Bukasov. So he wants to say it's like all included, all these different consequences.
Where is it?
Sefer Mitzvah, Mitzvah Reish Lamites, Din Haganov.
How do you answer a question like that? Why the Torah is created in the same?
Rabbi?
So just give me a second.
Rabbi?
One second. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, yeah. Go
first. I was just going to ask you just on the halachic part. So were you saying, Rabbi, that that by Gzewa there's no Kenyan? And that's why there's no Tashlumen?
I'm not saying there's no Kenyan. I'm saying his Kenyan is not the same as by Geneva. It's limited. There is a Kenyan, but it's not. There is a Kenyan Gzewa. But it can't be fulfilled. It's limited. You wouldn't call it Tashlumen. Tashlumen is where it's unlimited.
But it still makes him an achrai.
It still makes him an achrai. You mean, yes, correct. That's correct. Yeah, maybe the Heshus and Gzela shows you that you have no shlita over your chaver's property. It conveys that idea. Geneva just conveys the idea that your chaver has a right to possession. You can't be mafsed him. But Gzela is really to show that you have no shlita. Two different ideas. in terms of ethics. One is he had no shlita, and that's by Gazlin, and it's appropriate because Gazlin is God had less than a zillion. So it's showing you he had no shlita. And secondly, you have a chiyuv to rear, to make sure that you're not mafsid your chaver. Not being mafsid, he has rights to ownership. And he has rights to his own property. And maybe that's why you have a mitzvah, say, by gzeila. Two different ideas in terms of ethics. One is...
You mean by Geneva also, he's not doing it openly, so he's showing a certain amount of respect.
That's right. He's not being a show late on the Nechassim.
Yeah, if it's in, very nice.
He's doing it clandestinely.
Yeah, doesn't the Gemara say that the Goslin's worse because he's better because he's not elevating man above God?
That's a different idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, today they don't offer me the one. When they have these, when they have these riots, that's shlita. They're being shulit in somebody else in the chassan. You go into a store and sneak out a watch. That's not, they're not being a shulit. You're just being mafsid the guy. You're taking away his rights of ownership. When you break a store in public, that's being shulit. It's the worst chay, philosophically. So that's why the Torah made an essay of the Heshus Exilah Shegozo, to show that he had no shlita over your chavas property. I mean, that's what the riots are. The riots are shlita. It's not that you're being mocked at the guy privately, it's you being a sholeit on his nachosim. That you have a right of shlita on somebody else's property. That's an Alan Gadol.
You know, the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Gzela Vaved, Alach Zion, has another comment that expresses this idea of Harayas.
Oh, really?
He says, Hagozo es Chavero B'Yishuv, V'Hikser lo Gzelaso B'Midbar, Harishus B'Yad HaNigzal, Im Ratza Notel, V'Im Lav Omer lo Eini Notel, Ela B'Yishuv, Shemet Tenasi Manikan. Parei he bershusa gazlan ubachra yuso ad shiak sirenolo b'yishuf v'chein b'dmei agzela.
That's good. He has a choice.
Yeah, you can tell him. I won't tell you. You're just talking about how it's focusing on the idea that he has no bailiff. No, you need to return to me in my house.
But it's a sad thing, but it's in Yom Yom. They should be learning these Rambams.
Rabbi Fox, which Rambam were you reading?
Perek Aleph of Zeilev Avei Da Halacha Zayin.
Thank you.
So what's your point, Rabbi?
I'm saying he expresses this idea of a chrayas that the Rav was bringing out, and that the idea that the Goslin is really not just basically coercing the personality of his property.
Yeah, say it again. It's basically what?
Just coercing the personality of his property.
All right.
The way the Rambam actually defines it in Gzeilin in Reish Memhei is who she's harnish lo ligzol, v'hu litol masha ein lo, v'hu litol masha ein bo lanu zuchus, b'onei sehechrech.
He's forcing the guy.
Yeah. He doesn't have any comment similar to that in Gneva. It's
In Geneva, he does a secret.
Yeah, the Rambam in Perek Aleph, I think. Where do you have that? Oh, it's in Hilchos Geneva, the Rambam talks about that.
Ezu Gana. I was able to go ahead.
He says, Ezu Gana, Zalokeach Mamon Adam B'Seser, V'Ein Ba'alim Yodim. Kagon, the posha yada letoch kis chavero, the lakach ma'osav, the ain habalim roin, the chain kokayotze bazan. Aval im lakach begoloi, befarhesia, bechozik yad, ain zaganav, edel gazlan.
So in other words, by gizela, you're uprooting the whole institution of bilus. In Geneva, you're not. You're not uprooting the whole institution because you're going secretly, clandestinely, which means you recognize that there's bilus, but you're violating it. But you recognize that it exists, even though you're in violation. The violation doesn't remove the whole institution. Whereas by gizela, you're basically uprooting the whole, you're denying the whole institution of bilus.
I think that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I would say that whatever his intents are might be secondary. I mean, it's the impact of the behavior. When you steal things, publicly, and because again, so then it has an impact on everybody that is aware and that sees it. I mean, when it's done secretly, so basically it doesn't break down the institution, on a social level, the same way as when it's just, where it's just overt and explicit and done, publicly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That by exactly, you're uprooting the whole institution of ownership. When the rioters break the glass, break the stores, and destroy the property, they're denying the whole idea of shlita, of bilus. We all own everything. There's no private ownership. You go ahead.
No, it actually, I mean, just there's a side point, but it set off an interesting dialogue because. The politicians that were supporting the protesters here, and that despite the fact that there was looting, were actually accosted on this issue, and they were asked how they could support them when this looting is taking place.
Yeah.
And so their response was, they said, why are you so concerned about the looting? Though it did take place, why are you so concerned about it? You should be concerned about, the black lives that are being taken. So in other words, the fact that you're concerned about the looting shows that you don't really recognize why are you even noticing that? It shows that you don't really understand what the big issues are. So in other words, the looting was treated as if it's like a small thing, and it was treated like dismissively by these politicians. Like, it's like, why are you concerned about looting? You should be concerned about lives being taken. Like, don't even ask me about it.
So, in other words, once lives are taken, nothing else, no other law exists.
That's correct. I'm saying that the situation set off a whole sort of dialogue that normally people would realize is totally insane. But, it loosened all these ridiculous, people started saying things under normal circumstances. Everybody would realize it's completely absurd.
That's correct.
Rebbe.
Yes.
In line with your ideas, Vati Shachis Aretz Lifnei Elohim Vati Moy Aretz Chamas is Gazel, so that's the Hashchas HaSolam.
That's
the,
correct.
Yeah.
Well, next time, Zanadina, I guess.
Oh, sir, Rebbe?
Yes.
So you're saying that Geneva is like being mastered the guy?
Yeah.
The Nignav, right? So there's a Rambam in Aleph Dalet and Geneva when he explains like the Din Kefil. He says, Nadim testify pei shnayim. So he ends off the halach of Kefil by the Ganev is Nimsa mafsid kishir shabikish lachaser es chavera.
Oh, very good. That's beautiful.
It's good. It's like almost explains. It's Aleph, Dalet, and Geneva. It almost explains why there's Kefil by Geneva. It's like it's you do to the Ganav what he did to the Nignav. He's mafsid him, so he loses what he was trying to be mafsid. But Gazlan is not really a din of mafsid. It's a little bit of a different idea. I mean, that's why there's no Kefil.
That's clear. That's very good. Ram's Lashon is exactly what we're saying.
Right.
That's in Aleph, what, Dalet?
Alas Dal, yeah, the end of Alas Dal and Geneva, where he just explains the theory of Kefel.
So Geneva is just being mafsid. Geneva is an outright denial of the whole institution, of Bailus. That's very good. I mean, that's why it's Kefel, because you only focus in on the Hefsid. You're chayvin twice the Hefsid.
Right, so that's why there's Kefel by Geneva. He's mafsid, what do you want the other guy to be mafsid? By Gzela, the Torah introduced him to Zase to show him that he doesn't really have bilus on the other guy's thing.
That's good.
Yeah.
But Geneva, there's no kiyum if you return the Hefta itself?
Well, you have to. It's not a special thing. It's part of the Shema.
I see.
It's
part of the Shema. Like he's cornered the thing completely. There's nothing that mitigates the Kenyan. Nothing that lessens is very good. So Geneva is Hefsid Mamun Chavero, and Gzela is obliteration of his rights of Bible.
Right, there's also that Diak Rebbe that the Rambam starts off by Geneva, Kol Gonev Mamun. By Gzela, he says, Kol Gozos Chavero. You know, that's the difference in one's like against the guy, like his bilus, the chaver, and the other one's just like a monetary loss of.
That's very good. I mean, here's his called gozel chavero.
It's right,
offense against the guy's rights of ownership.
Right, but by Gneva, it's just a gonev mamon. If they have some mamon, it's a monetary loss.
That's very good. Very good.
Right.
Yeah, the realm seems to be fitting in.
It's getting better every minute.
It's amazing how the classification.
Really?
Yes.
In the case of Gazela, if he stole Mammon, would he have to return those dollars? Or no? That's not Tophis. Like if he steals an object, like a car, so that car he has to return. Does it apply to the Mammon too?
Yeah, definitely.
Interesting.
That's very good. So what about the question of Shos Lomidah?
Right, so it's definitely a Goslin, the way you're explaining it, no?
It's definitely a Goslin, right?
Yeah.
Because he's not being mafsid Mammon, he's denying the guy's Shlita on his Mammon.
Yeah, it's beautiful. That's good.
Sorry, what's the case? What Lomidah?
Shoel. Like you're in a guy's house and you borrow his pants.
Oh, yeah, okay, got it, okay.
You borrow his pants. You're not being mafsin him. But you're denying his rights of ownership.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does make sense.
Barely, just a side question. So a Ganav has a choice. He can decide whether he wants to return the object or not, like any form of payment?
No, as long as the object is extant, he has a chiyuv to return that object.
But it's just not set up as a separate asir.
Yeah, because, in other words, because the chiyuv geneva, you can't say it's not a purchase. He didn't purchase it. So the nignav still has a kinyan of sorts in the chayfetz.
So even though the kinyan is complete in some way, it's still not, it's not like the original owner is completely detached from it either.
That's right. That's okay.
Okay.
He still has a Kenyan. It's a compromised Kenyan. He still has a compromised Kenyan on the Chafetz. And as long as he has a compromised Kenyan on the Chafetz, so then the halacha says that you have to give it back to him. Because he does have a Kenyan in the Chafetz. Albeit a compromise. So that's why the Ganav has to return the Chafetz as long as it's extant. That's what the Gemara says, that Shneim and Yechom Lagdisho, the Ganef and the Nignaf, they both can't be Magdish. Zelafi Shein Shalohu, the Zelafi Shein Bershuso. So the Ganef can't be Magdish because it's not his, and the Bailam are lacking because it's not Bershusom anymore. And a Kenyan Bershus is a type of Kenyan. So the moment the Ganef takes it from the Bailam, he's being mafkiyat from his rishus. So it's a kind of kinyan rishus. So that's Eli Lopin. That's That answers the question. Zeh l'fi she'en shelov, or zeh l'fi she'en b'shusu. It's a compromise.
Okay.
He still has a kinyan, even though it's a weakened kinyan. So that's why by geneva, you have to return the geneva if it's still there. But it's not a mitzvah, it's not a separate mitzvah, say. It's just that it's all part of a tashlumen to make the nigav whole. You have to make him whole again. So you have to give him back his faith. Whereas by gezeila, it's a separate mitzvah. Separate tzur. Yeah, it's an interesting tzur. Yeah, so the Rambam seems to go like the Rav. Yeah, I like the Rav's shot better. Because my shot is like a suspension. To suspend the, suspending the chiv. The chiv tashlumen. And it's an artificial, you're putting in an artificial mechanism there. That's why the Rav didn't say that word. The Rav's shot is smoother. Because once you say there's a suspension, you're putting in an artificial mechanism. That's naturally novaya from the India. It's very good. So what did that guy answer when they say, why are you concerned about the looting?
He was a reporter. So, you know, reporters don't respond to that type of thing. I mean, the reporter posed the question to the city council member, she gave that response, and reporters don't get involved in debates. So what they do is they publish the interview, and so it speaks for itself.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's just in general, this thing with the killing of this black guy, and the general issue of policing of black communities, it's released, it just let out all of these crazy, really, unbelievable behaviors that normally would be seen as being completely unacceptable. In response to this, they've become normalized. I'll give you another example. The mayor of Seattle is a former federal prosecutor. So because she's a former federal prosecutor and she has been involved in some, she's been involved in the prosecution of some very serious criminals, her address, her private information is supposed to be private so that, to protect her safety and the safety of her family. So that nobody, in other words, you don't want to make her private information where she lives, this information public, because some criminal that she has prosecuted may try to get back at her. So the law is supposed to be kept private. So one of the city council members led a demonstration to her house and participated, was in front of the demonstration, in front of the mayor's house. Now, under normal circumstances, I think everybody would realize that is completely irresponsible behavior. I mean, how could you put somebody's life and their family in danger? That's the only way in which you could conduct a demonstration. But in this environment, I mean, this type of behavior, like some people see it's wrong and some people see it's crazy, but other people feel like they could justify anything. You could justify anything because of the cause.
That's correct.
It's mob behavior. It's a mob mentality.
But I would just say that, part of that mob mentality you're talking about is that people really lost the capacity to think at all for themselves. So if you're part of that mob, you just go along. You don't even realize, you don't think about what you're doing.
But that's what a mob is.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You're right.
That's the definition.
Yeah.
They only start thinking clearly if their own property is at risk.
That's true.
Could you explain, though, for the actual perpetrators, what's their mater?
What do you mean, for the perpetrators?
You're saying there's a certain mob mentality that follows the leaders, but I'm asking for those leaders that step over the line, what's their mater? Just because they're angry?
I mean, I can only speak about here, but I mean, I think there are mixed agendas. Okay, so for the people that are actually involved in the Black Lives Matter movement, so they feel that they need to take really aggressive actions to have their concerns addressed. They feel that if they don't act out, They won't. No attention will be paid to them. It'll blow over, and that nothing will really happen. So they're actually trying to act out. It's almost like a kid in the classroom who's dying for attention. They're actually acting out to try to get that attention. But for some [S2] Wow. [S1] of the politicians, it's more complex. I mean, they're actually, like for Sawant, I mean, she's not really, Black Lives Matter is not really her agenda. I mean, her agenda really is socialism. And so basically she sees this as something that she could use for her own aims, her own goals. So like, for example, the way she talks is she'll say the persecution or the oppression of the blacks is just another demonstration of the corruptness of, you know, the system, of the capitalist system, of established government bodies that are really basically just the instruments of big business. So she sees this as something she could use to try to promote her own agenda. It's not their agenda. She has a different agenda than them.
Mm-hmm. Her agenda is socialism.
She's a socialist. She's a Leninist. Actually, what she is, she's a Leninist.
Oh, really?
They really want to... Yeah, because she has no... You know, look, in a sense, I respect Lenin because at least the guy was honest. He basically believed that you have to use violence and force and compulsion upon the masses because the proletariat are too stupid to really do what's best for themselves. So people that favor democracy are naive. They think that people are actually capable of making the right decisions for themselves. That's ridiculous. You need a dictatorship of the proletariat, where essentially you have a ruthless dictatorship that institutes the policies that are best for the proletariat, and you suppress any type of opposition ruthlessly. So that's why she could do things that are completely insane, because it's for the greater cause of advancing the cause of protecting and supporting the proletariat. She's a Leninist. She's a real Bolshevik. That's really what she is.
Yeah, you protect the proletariat by letting people get their property destroyed, getting themselves killed.
Yeah, because they're the greater good. Because they're business people. Yeah, and you have to protect the working person, the underclass.
Yeah.
So there's no sympathy for, there's no respect for the rights of property owners. Mamish doesn't have it. I mean, it's really who she is. She can't do that explicit, but basically
Black Lives Matter, by the way, also has a very big Marxist contingent in it also. They're not even interested in race. A lot of them are just not interested in race, but they're using it as a very convenient like vehicle, just like you're describing the mayor.
Uh-huh.
A very big element of Black Lives Matter is run that same way.
Well, that's not the mayor. That's Sawant. She's a city council member.
Whoever you were speaking about, to say that, that she's not in. Yeah. Black Lives Matter itself is also very, very rooted in Marxist ideology.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So Bernie Sanders goes right in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's right in
there. That was Marxist's approach. He used any means, that's Marx, by any means possible. This is actually a brilliant tactic on their part. Everybody's so hypersensitive about race and doesn't want to be associated with any notion of like being called a bigot. So you hijack that fear and that, this prevalent like sentiment right now and just use that to like shove all these policies down that are actually just a very big part of a socialist agenda. It's actually very smart on their part and extremely effective.
Yeah, that's true. Yep, there's no ethical reality. Yep. Okay,
Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Yeah, great. Bye-bye.